In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in the fourth perek, we are told that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then the shofar is not blown except in the temple. The question is why? The Gemara first gives a proposal that the distinction is based upon verses. Namely, there are two verses, one which says that Rosh Hashanah is classified as a Yom Teruah, a day during which the shofar should be blown, and a second verse says Zichron Teruah, that it is a day when the shofar is remembered. So the Gemara explains, or Amoraim explained, that the difference between these two verses is the following. When Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, in fact, it's Yom Teruah Yelochem. The shofar should be blown. However, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then it is only Zichron Teruah. Rava has a problem with this. Rava says, if it's the case that the Torah prohibits the shofar from being blown on Shabbos, or if there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, then why is it that the shofar should be blown in the Mikdash, in the temple? Moreover, what's the problem with the shofar being blown on Shabbos? The blowing of the shofar is not a melacha. So the Gemara concludes the following, that as far as the Torah is concerned, the shofar should be blown on Rosh Hashanah, even when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. However, the rabbis decreed in what's known as Gezeira de Rabba, the decree of Rabba. That decree says the following, we do not blow the shofar, we do not carry the lulav, we do not read the Megillah if these festivals fall out on Shabbos. Why? There's one blanket decree. The decree is, lest an individual who does not know how to perform the mitzvah properly will take the various implements, either the shofar, the lulav, or the Megillah, and carry it in the public domain to a chacham, to a baki, to somebody who is a master, who will teach him how to perform the mitzvah properly. Lest it be the case that this violation take place, the rabbi said it's better that we forbid the performance of this mitzvah. Now clearly, although this is called Gezeira de Rabba, a decree of Rabba, by no means does anybody understand it to mean that Rabba is the one who made the Gezeira. Rather, Rabba is only the individual who reports that a Gezeira was made by the rabbis. While Gezeira de Rabba is something which is well known, and it is assumed that this is a unanimous view, this is not at all the case. In the Jerusalem Talmud, there is absolutely no mention of Gezeira de Rabba. And indeed, one finds different reasons as to why it is that the shofar is not blown on Shabbos or the Megillah is not read on Shabbos. Thus, in the case of shofar, the Jerusalem Talmud, in fact, remains with the view that there is, min haTorah, biblically speaking, no mitzvah to blow the shofar when Shabbos is the first day, when Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah. The question that Rava asks, so if so, why is it that the shofar was blown in the Beis HaMikdash? To this, the Jerusalem Talmud brings a verse, and from that verse it derives that there is a special mitzvah to blow the shofar in the temple, even when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, despite the fact that another verse tells us that the shofar is not to be blown when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. In that case, there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar outside of the temple. With regard to the question of the reading of the Megillah on Shabbos, whereas Rabba says it's not read because there is concern that it might be carried. Rabbi Yosef says, no, there's a different reason, and that is that the rabbis were concerned that if the shofar would be read on Shabbos, that the poor would lose out. That means that generally speaking, people gave generously to the poor on Purim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Matonos Le'Avyonim. However, the concern is that if Purim would come out on Shabbos, they would not give the same amount of Matonos Le'Avyonim, they would not give the Aniyim money for Sudas Purim, and the poor would lose out. And therefore, rather than have the poor lose out, the rabbis were very careful to institute that the Megillah had to be read during the week. With regard to the question of Lulav, in fact, it's clear that the Jerusalem Talmud maintains the position that the Lulav should be taken and was taken on Shabbos, was lifted on Shabbos, even outside of the temple. Thus, there is an alternative to the position of Rabbah. It's possible to explain the various laws of the Mishnah regarding festivals that fall out on Shabbos and not utilize Rabbah's Gezerah. What I would like to explain in the next few moments is why it is that Rabbah felt that the rabbis decreed that these various mitzvahs should not be performed, and why it is they would have done so despite the fact that it's quite remote that a particular individual might in fact violate Shabbos by carrying, and therefore they decreed that nobody should perform a mitzvah. This is difficult, especially since there are those who say that if a person violates the Shabbos with the thought that in fact he is performing a mitzvah, that he is exempt on this basis. But even if that were not the case, why should the mitzvah be held back from so many people? Because there might be one person, B'sof HaOlam, on the other side of the world, who might violate Shabbos. Why did Rabbah feel so strongly that the rabbis would decree for this purpose? Now, it is interesting that we do find other disputes in which Rabbah also attributes the reason for laws in the Mishnah to this concept of carrying on Shabbos. Thus, we find in Maseches Beya that if a yontif comes out after Shabbos, Beis Shammai says that you have to be tovel everything. That means individuals have to be tovel and vessels have to be toveled before Shabbos. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says no. When, as far as people are concerned, people can be tovel on Shabbos. However, when it comes to utensils, the utensils have to be immersed before Shabbos. Now, the question as to what is the reason behind the law which is stated in the Mishnah, it's very clear that it's a decree. So the question is, what is the basis for it? Now, there are four Amoroyim who give reasons as to why it is that the rabbis prohibited the immersion of utensils on Shabbos, and Rabbah gives the reason which he has given in other places, namely the gezer is Shema Yitlena Biyodo V'Yavirena Dalet Amos B'Shus Rabim. We're concerned lest the person carry the utensil from where he is, or from where the utensil is, to the mikveh, and therefore would violate the law of carrying on Shabbos. So we see that to Rabbah, this is something which is exceedingly important. To understand Rabbah, one must understand a dispute which we find in Maseches Shabbos in the chapter called Kol HaKelim. That chapter deals predominantly with the laws of Muksa. To understand Rabbah, one must understand his position vis-a-vis how he understood the laws, the development of the laws of Muksa. There the rabbis tell us, there the Gemara tells us, that Nehemiah, who is known, he wrote a book which we find in Tanakh, the Ezra Nehemiah book. Nehemiah had a problem during his time. And that problem was that people wanted to do business. People living outside of Jerusalem wanted to do business with people living in Jerusalem. And the Navi tells us that Nehemiah was instrumental in putting a stop to this business, which was being transacted on Shabbos. That's as far as what we find actually in the Sefer of Nehemiah. However, the Gemara tells us that Nehemiah went beyond this, that one of the things that Nehemiah did was he prohibited the carrying or the moving of vessels which did not contain food, except for the use of three implements which were necessary to actually be able to distribute and eat the food on Shabbos. And then the Gemara tells us, Hitiru v'chozru v'hitiru, that after Nehemiah passed this very, very stringent law, you can only have a small knife, you can only have a ladle, the rabbis saw fit to rescind this gezeirah. And eventually one finds that one is allowed to move items, which today we call muksa, depending upon the type of item it is, one is permitted to move it for different reasons. Exactly what and how one could move these items, whether you're allowed to move it in what's known as Litzarach Gufo because you need it, or Litzarach Makomo because you need its place. This is a dispute among Amoroyim in the Gemara, and the purpose of this shir is not for us to get involved in that technicality. But just to remember one point, that in the time of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was very stringent about the moving of vessels which did not contain food. And later on, the rabbis permitted it. The question comes up, when exactly did this reversal take place? Now, if one follows the Gemara closely, one finds in that Gemara, which, by the way, is on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis and Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph in Maseches Shabbos, if you look at that Gemara closely, you will notice that Rabbi Loza and Rabba deal with the various brisos and mishnayos differently. And the upshot, I think, between the manner in which the two understand these brisos and mishnayos is quite significant. According to Rabbi Elazar, the decree of Nehemiah stood throughout the time of the Bayis Sheni. In other words, it stood for approximately 400 years. And it was only towards the end of this period that the rabbis began to see that whatever problem or whatever prompted Nehemiah to make his gezeirah no longer was necessary. The people had learned enough about the laws of Shabbos and took carrying seriously that there was no reason for there to be a decree against carrying these vessels. And eventually the rabbis went and they became more and more lenient and allowed people to carry ever more items. Not so, says Rabba. Rabba, I believe, takes the position that it is within a very short time after Nehemiah made the gezeirah that the gezeirah was rescinded. Now this would fit very well with the view of the Aruch HaShulchan, who argues that it's very clear that Nehemiah had to rescind the gezeirah quite soon after he made it, for if he didn't rescind it, or those who lived within generations of his life, those who came later, those who lived at the time of the end of the Second Temple period, would not have had the stature to be able to reverse a decree that Nehemiah made. So if the decree was reversed, it's pretty clear it had to have been done almost immediately. With this, we can understand how Rabbah understands what he calls the Gezeira de Rabbah. What we are dealing with here is the laws concerning carrying on Shabbos. For whatever reason, throughout the history of Judaism, these laws have been problematic. Somehow, people did not connect with them. Somehow, people could not relate that these, in fact, were as serious as other laws of Shabbos. With regard to the other laws of Shabbos, people could understand that there was creativity which was taking place. With regard to the laws of carrying, there is no creative act which is taking place. Moreover, people could not understand why it is that Minat Torah, one would be able to carry as much as he wanted, things as heavy as they might be, in a domain which was not classified as a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, a biblical public domain. Yet, if they would carry a very light thing in the public domain, they would be culpable. And therefore we find, starting in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that decrees were passed which added to the prohibitions of carrying on Shabbos, so that people would understand that carrying, in fact, was something which was very serious. We find in the Nevi'im that there's a concern of the carrying of Masos B'Yom HaShabbos, the carrying of burdens on Shabbos. From this we see that throughout this period, carrying was and remained a problem, because somehow people felt that that it was permitted to carry on Shabbos, and they could not comprehend that there was such a prohibition. Therefore, by the time Nehemiah came around, he felt that something severe had to be done in order to impress upon the populace that carrying was indeed a very serious offense. So what he did was, he said the following: in order to impress upon people that carrying is quite problematic, we will prohibit for people from carrying things even in their homes. So because by doing this, we will say to them as follows, or they will say to themselves, if you're not allowed to carry things in the house, clearly carrying is problematic. And since carrying is problematic, surely one is not allowed to carry in the public domain. But what happened, according to Rabbah, is that after a relatively short amount of time, the rabbis began to see that the populace was getting the message, that the populace was beginning to appreciate that carrying is not something which should be taken lightly, that it is one of the 39 Av Melochos, and that it should not be done on Shabbos. Therefore, the rabbis began to rescind their decrees. However, so that it should forever remain ingrained in the minds of the populace that carrying is, in fact, a very, very serious offense, the rabbis established what we now call Rabbah's decree, Gezeira de Rabbah. And that is the following. They said, what we're going to do is, we are going to take mitzvahs, which are seen to be extremely crucial, and we are going to establish a decree which will prohibit the performance of these mitzvahs when the particular festivals fall on Shabbos, in order that the message be conveyed to people that carrying on Shabbos is a serious offense. Thus, take the most holy day of the year, Rosh Hashanah. take the specific mitzvah which makes Rosh Hashanah unique, the blowing of the shofar. Take that shofar, whose role is so important because it is Kadesh Sheyale Zechronoseichem Shal Yisrael Lefnei Avim Shebashamayim, that the Jews be remembered Letov by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them with Rachamim because they blow the shofar, and say to the community of Israel, no, today is Shabbos. Today you may not blow the shofar. Why? Because we are making a decree. Why are we making a decree? We do it so because we are concerned that perhaps someone will inadvertently carry the shofar on Shabbos. Same with the lulav, same with the Megillah. When the populace internalize what the rabbis are doing, they will say to themselves, look and see how stringent carrying is. If for fear that inadvertently somebody might go and take this shofar and do it with good intent in order that he learn how to blow the shofar or in order to learn what brachos to say. But in fact, he will transgress Shabbos, and because of that one person, the rabbis are willing to say that even great Talmidei Chachamim and their students and other Gedolei Yisrael or people who are learned and versed in Torah, the hundreds of thousands or whatever the number might be at the time, who will perform this mitzvah, and the rabbis are willing to forgo this, this shows us that to them, carrying is not minor. Carrying is a violation of Shabbos. Carrying is one of the 39 malachos. And this will make a tremendous impression upon them, and they will therefore be very careful when it comes to carrying on Shabbos. And thus the rabbis say, by making this decree, we can permit them to carry utensils within the private domains on Shabbos. Why? Because the lesson of not carrying on Shabbos will be brought home to them and will carry on from one generation to another by imposing the gezeirah of Rabbah, that is, not allowing the shofar to be blown on Shabbos, not allowing the lulav to be taken on Shabbos, and not allowing the Megillah to be read on Shabbos. Thus we can understand Rabbah's gezeirah within its historical context and see how wise the rabbis were for instituting this decree. Everyone is familiar with the law that when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, the shofar is not blown. This derives from a statement in the Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Rosh Hashanah, which states, Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos B'Mikdash Hayotokim Avalo B'Medina, that when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, then the shofar is not blown in the territories. However, it is blown in the Beis HaMikdash. Were one to ask what is the underlying basis of this law, the normal expected answer, the answer that we are taught in school, the answer which is at the conclusion of the discussion in the Babylonian Talmud, is that it is due to what is known as Gezeira de Rabba, the decree that Rabba explains. Namely, Rabba says that min haTorah, biblically, one is truly obligated to blow the shofar even when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. However, the rabbis were concerned lest an individual who was unschooled would take that shofar and transport it in the public domain on Shabbos in order to bring it to an expert so that he were to learn the brachos of the shofar as well as or just the manner in which the shofar has to be blown, and in the process he would commit a violation of carrying in the public domain on Shabbos. Rather than see one individual transgress, the rabbis decreed that no one should blow the shofar so that this type of violation not occur. In another shiur, we will explain what the background and basis of Rabba's Gezeira was. However, in this shiur, I would like to concentrate on the previous part of the discussion in the Babylonian Talmud, because there the Talmud gives us a different understanding as to why the shofar is not to be blown on Shabbos. The Gemara says that Rav Levi bar Lachman and Rav Chamor ben Chanina explain that the reason the Mishnah does not permit the shofar to be blown in the territories on Rosh Hashanah, which falls out on Shabbos, and by the word territory we mean anything outside of the temple, the basis is biblical, not rabbinic. And that is, we find one verse in the Torah which says, Shabboson Zichron Trua, that Yontif of Rosh Hashanah is to be a day in which the shofar is remembered. The Chosav Echad, on the other hand, we find another pasuk in Bamidbar, in which it says, Yom Teruah Yelochem. This is a day on which the shofar should be blown. This seems to be contradictory. The verse in Bamidbar says that the shofar should be blown on Rosh Hashanah. The verse in Vayikra says, no, one should merely remember the blowing of the shofar. So these two rabbis explain, Lo Kasha, there truly is no contradiction. When the Torah says that you should blow the shofar, it refers to a Rosh Hashanah that falls out during the week. On the other hand, when the Torah says you should merely remember the blowing of the shofar, at that point it speaks about a Rosh Hashanah which fell out on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there is no mitzvah, min haTorah, to blow the shofar. And that's why we don't blow the shofar. The Gemara has a problem, however, with the view of these two rabbis. This comes in the form of an objection from Rava. Rava says, if the Torah prohibits the blowing of the shofar on Shabbos, then why would it be permissible to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? And moreover, the blowing of the shofar is only a chachma, and it's not a melacha. So therefore, it shouldn't be violated on Shabbos at all. Now, you note, I hope, you should have noted, that the way in which Rava asks the question is a little bit different and based upon a different point of view, slightly different point of view, than I used to explain the position of Levi bar Lachma and Chamor bar Chanina. Rava assumed that what their limud was is that on Shabbos, the Torah is telling us that it's prohibited to blow the shofar. And that's why the Torah uses the term zichra and shrua. If we were speaking about a prohibition, so Rava says, if so, why should it be permitted in the temple? And why should it be permitted at all if, in fact, there's no melacha involved? The way, however, I explained Levi bar Lachma and Chamer bar Chanina is that they are of the opinion that what the Torah is telling us is that there simply is no mitzvah at all to blow the shofar on Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. However, when it comes to the Mikdash, there is a mitzvah, according to the Mishnah, to blow the shofar on Shabbos. And the question is, from where does this derive? For this, the Jerusalem Talmud gives us an answer, which the Babylonian Talmud just does not consider at all. This is striking, based upon the fact that the author of this statement is none less than the famous Tana, Rab Shimon ben Yochai. Rab Shimon ben Yochai says, "V'ikravtem b'mokom shakarbonos kerevim." He says that when you look at the Torah, you will see that the psukim are set up in such a way that one pasuk tells you, and there are those who feel that the text of the Jerusalem Talmud is misstated, and that really what Rav Shimon ben Yochai means to say is the following, that the Torah uses the word Vasisem Ola in Bamidbar, where the Torah states that Yom Truah Yelochem, this should be a day of Truah, from which Rav Shimon ben Yochai derives that in the place where you are bringing your Karbonos, namely in the Beis HaMikdash, there you are obligated to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Thus we have a dichotomy between the two positions. Rabba tells us that min ha-Torah, one is obligated to blow the shofar on Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem as to why it should be blown in the Beis HaMikdash, because this is the biblical law. On the other hand, why is it that outside of the temple the shofar is not blown? The reason is because the rabbi decreed, lest someone carry the shofar. Levi bar Lachma and Rav Chamer bar Chanina, on the other hand, maintain no, that as far as the Torah is concerned, there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar outside of the temple on Rosh Hashanah, when it comes out on Shabbos, whereas the Torah is very strict in informing us that in the Beis HaMikdash, it is important and significant that the shofar be blown on Shabbos. It is left for us, therefore, to try to understand and to analyze why it should be, according to these two rabbis, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that we do not blow the shofar, that there is no mitzvah to blow the shofar. A major reason for blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech al kol ha'olam, to recoronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king over the entire world. Kings are inaugurated through the blowing of a shofar. It's customary when a king enters into a room or enters into the city that the shofar is blown. As we find in the pasuk in the Tillim, b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lifnei hamelech Hashem, that one should blow the trumpets and the shofar before God the King. There is a verse in Tillim, in what we call Ashrei, which we say each and every day. And that verse says, Malchuscha, Malchus kol olamim, u'memshaltecha b'chol dor v'dor. that God is referred to in two ways. One as a king, a melech, and the second as a ruler, Moshe. There is a significant difference between these two. A Moshe is a ruler who rules without the consent or independent of the consent of the populace. On the other hand, a melech is someone who rules with the consent and approval of the populace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always a Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always ruled the world. But Hashem's desire is not merely rule the world, but he is desirous that the inhabitants of the world desire his malchus, his monarchy. What Levi bar Lachma and Chamor bar Chanina are telling us is that on Shabbos it is not necessary to blow the shofar in order to proclaim that Hashem is Melech al kol ha'olam. Why should that be? It's because there is an intrinsic difference between the Sheishas Yemei Hamasa, the 6 days of creation, and the Shabbos. When Hashem created the world during the 6 days of creation, which we call Sunday through Friday, he created it in such a way that his presence was not manifest in the world. He wanted to give man bechira chofshis, free choice. He wanted man to be able to decide for himself whether or not he wanted God's monarchy. And therefore, in the creation, one could possibly explain the creation in a way in which God was not the creator. Hashem desired this. Why? Because he wanted man to investigate the world, to come through his intelligence to an understanding that indeed Hashem was the creator, indeed Hashem was the true benevolent one, and it is to Hashem that man must turn, it is to Hashem that man must pay homage. Not so with regard to Shabbos. Hashem did not create Shabbos as he created the other days. The creation of the time of Shabbos was such that God's presence was truly and completely felt on this day. The higher realms were not hidden from mankind. And therefore, on Shabbos, Hashem was always a melech. Hashem was always the king who was sought after by the angels who understood and comprehended him. And Adam HaRishon, had he entered Gan Eden without sinning on that very first Shabbos, would have truly and completely understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech al kol ha'olam. If one wants to have an understanding of why it is and how it is that Hashem is Melech on Shabbos, one need only look to the fact that the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Tov are distinct. When Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, we make the bracha, Mikadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Hashem sanctified the Shabbos, and he sanctified Israel to sanctify the Yomim Tovim. That means that the sanctification of Yontif is in the hands of Israel. Why? Because Israel can comprehend the Kedusha of Yontif. When it comes to the Kedusha of Shabbos, however, that Kedusha is so high and so elevated that it is beyond human comprehension. And therefore, the Jew, through his action, is not equipped to be Moshech, to draw down this Kedusha into the world. It is drawn only, or it comes to the earth only, through the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In real terms, what does that mean? Chazal give us a glimpse into the sanctity of Shabbos and its meaning in the Shmonesrei of Mincha that we say each week. There the Torah the rabbis tell us that the basic touchword of Shabbos is that it is a time of Menucha. It is a time of rest and tranquility. But what type of rest are we talking about? There it says, it's a Menuchas Ahava Unedava, a Menucha of love and devotion, Emes Ve'emuna, trust and truth, Shalom V'shalva, peace, well-being, quiet and security, Menucha Shleima Sh'ata Rotzeba. It's the perfect tranquility, the tranquility that you, Hashem, desire. Now, this says a lot. To say that Shabbos is the Menucha Shleima Sh'ata Rotzeba, that it is the complete tranquility that you, Hashem, desired, indicates that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was the Tachlis HaBriya, the reason that for the creation of the world, that man on Shabbos should be able to reach this level of Menucha. What is this Menucha, and how do we reach it? The question arises, why is man not tranquil? Now, of course, one is not tranquil during the week because we have Dages HaParnasa, we're concerned about our sustenance. There are different difficulties which arise through human interaction, and this does not allow for a person to be quiet, to be tranquil, to be at rest. However, this is not truly the only dilemma that people face and which keep them from being complete individuals. There are dilemmas which come up in thought. There are dilemmas which one faces with regard to religion. There are dilemmas that one faces with regard to philosophy. And because one does not completely comprehend all that which exists out in the world, because one doesn't understand exactly what his purpose is in this world, and over and above this, because even in the statements of Chazal and in the Torah, there appear to be directives which are somewhat contradictory, this leads a person to not feel secure, to not feel assured about his role, his place, and his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this keeps him from the state of Menucha. However, the rabbis, in writing this description of Shabbos in the Mincha Shmonesrei, tell us that the light of Shabbos helps to resolve the theoretical contradictions, problems, and dilemma facing human beings, which allows them, therefore, to come to a state of tranquility. Thus, one of the descriptions mentioned is that Shabbos is a time of Menuchas Emes V'Emuna, truth and trust. Now, truth and trust are not the same. Truth is knowledge. Trust is belief. They're two different systems. And yet, the Menucha of Shabbos is able to bridge that gap between knowledge and belief. In other words, that light, that special light of Shabbos, gives the human being an instinct that without Shabbos he would not have had. Because during the days of the week, if we were only exposed to the days of the week, we would only see the world from in its finite guise, we would have no idea of eternity. We would have no idea of the ennoblement of the human spirit. It's only through the experience of Shabbos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hide his essence, but rather revealed it, is that glimpse of Shabbos which allows us this window of eternity and allows us to come to tranquility by resolving for us the theoretical constructs, the theoretical problems that otherwise we would not understand. And therefore, it is an emes, it's a menuchas emes v'yamuna, and it is a menucha shleima sha'ata rotzeba. Because of this, because Shabbos is therefore so elevated, and because the time of Shabbos in and of itself is such that Hashem, from the beginning of creation, retained Shabbos to be a day in which he was a melech, because he, on the day of Shabbos, set out to openly reveal himself to mankind without any type of deception. Because of this, it's not necessary when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos to blow the shofar. But now you're going to ask a very obvious question, and that is, if so, why should it be that the shofar should be blown in the temple? We can understand this through the help of a mechilta. There it is written that there are a number of things which were given b'dibur echad. What that means is that we find several groupings of statements which were made, which on their appearance are contradictory. For example, the Torah tells us that a person is not permitted to marry his brother's wife. On the other hand, the Torah tells us, should that brother die childless, the person is obligated to marry that brother's wife. The Torah, on the one hand, tells us we should not wear shatnas, which is linen and wool woven together in a garment. On the other hand, the Torah tells us, gedilim tasalecha, when it comes to making tzitzis, tzitzis must have a woolen thread in it, the psil techeles, and if one is wearing a linen garment, it turns out that one has to put that woolen strand on that linen garment, which would make it shatnas. In other instances, the Torah instructs us with regard to the garments of the Kohen Gadol that some of them are made with shatnas. So the question is, how is it that the Torah puts forth contradictory concepts? This, the Medrash answers by saying, don't think that the Torah was unaware of this. Don't think that these contradictions slip by. Not so. Rather, these statements were given by Dibur Echad. What does the connotation Dibur Echad connote? It is that you can have two different commands, and the implication of these commands seem to be contradictory. However, if you have greater understanding, you will come to realize in a very short time that what appears to be a violation of the first command is really an elevation of that same command. Thus, take the case of Shabbos. On the one hand, the Torah says, Mechaleleha mos yumas, to violate the Shabbos by doing melacha, one incurs a capital fine. At the same time, if one works in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah instructs that person, Ubiyoma Shabbos, Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shona Tamimim, you are obligated to chop wood, to light the fire, to shech the carbon, in order that you bring the requisite carbonos. Now, is this contradictory? The answer is no, because both prescriptions, both commands, really aim at the same essence. And what is that essence? It is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and that He rules that world. So that when it comes to the world at large, that world does not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. in order to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence felt, the Torah says, cease from work on Yom HaShabbos, so that people will remember, recall, and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. On the other hand, in the Migdash, Hashem's presence is felt. The Migdash is to space what Shabbos is to time. Just as we said on Shabbos, God's presence is felt, so too in the Migdash, God's presence is always felt. There's no need to show that God created the world by ceasing to work on Shabbos. It's a given that God created the world. So here, the Torah instructs us that every Shabbos we are to bring two karbonos, two olos, two mimos that we sacrifice to Hashem. The idea behind this is that in the spiritual realm, there is no rest on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day that we can come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless. Each and every day, we have to work at understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. The Karban Ola is a Karban wherein we give ourselves completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Its name means to rise up. And the essence of it is that by bringing this carbon, we are saying we are striving to understand you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on ever higher levels. In this regard, Shabbos is not a day of menucha, in the sense that nothing is done, but rather it's a menuchas ava unadava. It's a day of tranquility, which is a tranquility of love. And that love leads to Nidava, to our voluntarily wanting to know and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. This is in line with the Maimer of Chazal, wherein it says that Talmidei Chachamim ein lehem menucha, lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. Talmidei Chachamim never have rest, neither in this world nor in the future world, because rest, as we understand it, with regard to not doing melacha on Shabbos, only corresponds to the fact that we cease to work in that world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden his presence. However, in the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifest, there we are obligated to try to work to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. It is specifically in this vein that we blow the shofar on Shabbos in the Migdash, because the blowing of the shofar is a clear indication that we wish to strive higher and higher, that we are not happy simply to know that Hashem is Melech, but we are blowing the shofar gadol, because we are growing through its being blown, and that we hope and pray through blowing the shofar in the Migdash that Hashem grants us ever greater insight into our knowledge of Him. Today we do not have a Migdash, but our rabbis tell us that Shabbos, which was a day which was created specifically for Limud HaTorah, so that while we might not blow the shofar on Shabbos, the way in which we can replace the blowing of shofar on Shabbos is through the recitation of the Malchiyas Zichronos in Shofros, through the recitation of the verses where we sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a mental activity appropriate for the day of Shabbos, and that for every Shabbos throughout the year, we devote ourselves to Limud HaTorah so that we can be Mekayem Va'asisem Ola, through studying the Devar Hashem.